Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 30th of July. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my absolutely lovely co-host.
It's me.
It's Miss Honourbike.
You're all right.
How you doing, bud?
I'm all right. We're not here next week, are we?
We're not. We're both absconded. Yeah. Where are you next week?
Where are you next week?
I'm not telling. Oh, okay.
I like to not tell.
Yeah. Are you doing anything interesting?
No,
me neither. But,
and welcome to the show, everybody.
Yeah. But we have got a special next week.
That's not what you were saying earlier. I like transparency and trust.
I said it was special.
There's
different connotations of special, isn't there?
You did say it was special. And Norman is Jewel Sirkins' neighbour.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess, well, not quite a neighbour.
That's what she said.
No, but they did some work next to it. Yeah, yeah. We're going to talk to Norman shortly in the show, and you'll find out more about that. But next week on the Business Bunker Show, Jules and her new husband of 21 years, Gavin, will be doing a blockchain and international business special.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We're not here.
No, we're not here.
But she won't be happy with what's going on in crypto at the minute.
No.
It's dropping through the roof.
That's it.
Do not sell.
Yeah. Are you holding?
I'm holding and buying.
You're buying, are you?
Of course.
Oh, are you?
Buy now when it's low.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah. You're being a bear, are you?
What's that mean?
I suppose.
Hairy?
To a bull.
Hairy? What? Rolling? As what? I'm poking a bear.
Oh, no, don't worry.
I'm not
about
poking
it.
A bear, I'm being honest.
No.
What's funny about that?
No, there's bull markets and bear markets.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you're being a bear at the moment.
I am.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, come on, Paul, you used to be a banker.
Oh, no.
No, you can tell her all about bears bulls.
I never mention this, do I?
What?
I never mentioned that many years ago I worked for Citibank.
I don't know which job we are talking about anymore.
No, I never mentioned that.
He's done everything.
But this week,
have you banked?
No, this week we have somebody else that also worked for Citibank.
Oh, yes, you too.
It was Howard,
Yes, bless you.
Absolutely. We made the bank what it is, didn't we?
Oh, we did. Yeah. We were the stars there.
Exactly, yeah. And young. Anyway, we'd like to hear from you. The businesses out there in the southeast of England, you can get in touch with us in all the usual ways. You could, in fact, call me if you wanted.
We
won't answer the phone, but you could try. On
we need a ringtone on it.
Yeah, but the trouble is it then rings, it goes all the way through the equipment. So we took the ringtone out and put a flashing light in, but I can never see the flashing light because there's a pole in front of it. Anyway.
Are you going to ring next week?
It
would drive her mad. She won't be able to produce a show and answer a phone call all at the same time. She'd be like, Gavin!
You can give us a call on Ashford 01233 220035. That's 01233 220035.
Do you remember that number?
No.
I told you, I forgot it when I went to Rwanda. I was like, what's the number?
What do you mean, do I remember that number? I've just told you, haven't I?
No.
I didn't make
it's scripted.
It up, did I?
It's scripted, this show.
Am I reading it from a script? you can email me. You can email me.
Back to script.
At hello@bizradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and to use the hashtag BBunker.
Yeah.
We have already had quite a few tweets, but not as many as we usually do because it's the summer holidays and everybody's wandering around doing things. But we've had quite a few and we'll read them as we go through.
Awesome.
Good stuff. And I want to say a big thank you to this week's show sponsor, who are the lovely folks at MyZones. Do check them out, myzones.co.uk. Mm-hmm. They're a business support organisation and a lifestyle business. Check them out, MyZones. Thank you very much for supporting the show this week. What have you been up to, Lynn Bird? Tough question, eh?
Well, I've been talking to my publisher, getting all that going, just sorting out contracts and stuff like that.
Are you ready with the book? Is it finished?
It's coming out in end of November, and it's a three-year project.
That's not what I asked.
No. No, the cover's just about to come out, so we're about to do pre-sales.
So you've done the cover.
No, it's half written. Look what you're trying to do. What do you want me to say?
It's going to be published in November, and I've got the cover. What's going to go in between the covers?
A book.
Is it? And how are we doing with that bit?
We're doing really well, actually. Yeah. All the interviews are done. It's literally just, halfway through. That's.
I've got to say, talking about interviews,
I listen
to your show. Bird does a show on Wednesday called The Conversation.
That's the first time you have ever, in 4 years, that's the first time you've ever introduced me into it, rather than me having to dump it in.
I've learnt my lesson, haven't I?
I really appreciate it.
Trying to fend you off of publicising your rubbishy little show every week. Anyway, no, I listened.
Did you just say my rubbishy little show?
Did I say that?
Excellent. Good to know.
I listened to last week's show with Monica Janssens. How brilliant was that? Really fantastic.
I tell you what, I could have done a two-hour show with it.
Well, almost every time she opened her mouth, you want to go, what? Tell me more.
You know so much.
Yeah, it was really...
It was the bedroom speak and their toiletry problems and all those things. She's, if you didn't listen to the show, Norman, I'll tell you... I had a historian on who is a writer, and she researches and really loves the social element to history. So we hear about wars and we hear about the wealth, but we don't actually hear about how we communicated or we behaved in that era. So when she was on our show,
she was on the Business Bunker show,
talking about networking, and literally at the end of the interview, she dropped into the conversation. She's this historian about the bedroom and her book that she's got out, which is very provocative.
It's called 69 Beds, isn't
that's
it?
That's right, yeah. And we were all like,
I don't know how she thought of that.
I was like, why did you talk about networking for the last 20 minutes? Why haven't you been talking about this? So I said, right, you've got to come on our show. So she came on the show talking literally about what she knows about the bedroom and how it was a very communal.
Did she talk about chamber pots?
No, but she talked about the
toilets.
Yeah, she did a big thing on toilets. Her two big things are beds and toilets. And the fact that
they're very important.
Until 100 years ago, going to the toilet was a communal activity.
And bedroom.
Yeah.
Obviously. But, you know, it was a place where you hold meetings. It was a place where a family all came together. Whereas now we actually don't do any of that. Mm. It's very interesting. And it was just fascinating.
It was brilliant. It was just really, really brilliant. It was just so... tongue-in-cheek.
And here's the interesting thing. She's got a book that she's, again, wanting to get published, but the publishers aren't interested.
It's funny, isn't it?
Is that all about? Because the marketplace is. Mm. So it's really interesting, because she's trying to go through traditional publishing.
Yeah.
And I said, why?
Why, yeah.
Why? Why do you need to do that? So it's very interesting.
Self-publish, yeah.
It is, yeah.
But no, it was a fantastic interview. I loved it. It was really brilliant. It was really.
Her voice, she's so BBC, isn't she? She's a killer, darling. Yeah, yeah. And I said that to her. You're so BBC, and she's got it from her mother, she's my new best friend.
Yeah, yeah, fantastic stuff. Yeah. Hey, listen, as I say, we want to hear from you. We have got some loads of tweets. There's still quite a lot of activities going on.
You didn't tell us what you were being up to. How's business? We're not bothered talking about business.
Yeah, we got over the last nonsense.
Okay.
The leaking roof. I told you about that, didn't I?
Yeah.
In Fruitworks.
Yeah.
My roof leaked beer.
Right. And he's complaining about it.
Well, I don't drink. I'm teetotal. But everybody else was laying on the floor while the roof
was
leaking beer.
Please tell me. You social media'd it brilliantly, surely. Bojos.
Yeah. The problem is now, it's not leaking beer anymore, but the whole building stinks of hops. It's just horrible. It's just like being in the morning after in a party every day until we can get rid of the smell.
A question I'm going to ask you. So I know a couple of people who've just been away, and you wouldn't know in their business because they set up their social media and they've just literally still been delivering their products and whatever. How are you going to do that? I know obviously you've got 10 businesses how are you going to be able to run your businesses, still have some connection with them, and be on holiday and be present with your family?
Oh, that's easy. That's easy. I just ignore them.
You know what I mean, though. Yeah, because this is coming to a big month now. August the 1st is Thursday, and we always get this same thing.
But the reality is, the reason that I can do what I do is that I've got great people to work for me. And I've got people in every business whose job it is to run the business on a day-to-day basis. And they really don't need to tell me stuff. unless they really, really, really need to tell me stuff. Yeah.
So say, for example, if you didn't have that set up,
yeah,
what would you suggest to people who are going away on holiday to say, look, this is really important that you still put this in place so that you can be present in your holiday with your family?
Yeah. Well, it's not easy, is it? I mean, when you run your own business, you have to deal with things. There are certain clients that won't deal with anyone else, yeah? And there's no way out of that, really. And because you're in touch, you know, once upon a time, you went on holiday, they just can't go out, couldn't get hold of you. They had to wait until he came back. But now they're just going to bombard you with WhatsApp messages, Facebook Messenger, text messages, voice phone calls, emails. There are a bazillion ways to get hold of you, and they're going to get hold of you no matter what because they don't care that you're on holiday. Now, how you deal with that is up to you. A lot of people just put an automatic "I'm on holiday" reply. You know, so if you get an email, you just get one back saying "I'm back next Monday" or whatever. But if it's a really, really important client that will only talk to you, there's not really a lot of ways out of it.
How do you feel when you get those holiday emails come? It annoys me a little bit sometimes, I'm not going to lie.
Well, I don't like them just because they clutter up my inbox.
Yes.
I go, you know.
I didn't need you to tell me that.
It's not so much the holiday ones. It's the "I'm out until tomorrow." Do I really care?
Yeah.
Do I really care? Why did you have to clutter me up with that? I mean, you're asking the wrong person probably.
But isn't that part of running your own business?
Yeah, it is.
And I have done that for years, and that's what you do. Yeah. I mean, you have to selectively respond to people maybe while you're on holiday or in the evening or whatever.
Yeah, I agree.
And there is more pressure now, and that's but that's the nature of the beast.
Mm. Many years ago, in the early days, not in the businesses I have now, but in the business I had with my ex-wife, I was away on holiday and we had something break. I actually had to come back halfway through the holiday. There was no way out of it. I had to come back and try and sort it out. It's just, as Howard said, it's the nature of the beast, basically.
Yeah.
Luckily for me, I'm not a holidays kind of person. I'm not really fussed about holidays, but, you know. Sorry, Amanda.
I'm looking at you, I'm thinking, no, no.
Well, the shirt you're wearing looks very holiday-ish. I mean, it looks like you're about to go on holiday.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I am. I'm going next week, so I thought I'd start wearing it this week.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Because you just get it acclimatised.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'll tell you what, do you want to read something?
Do I?
Yeah, go
I'm
for
miles
it.
Away then. All right then. Yeah, here we go. So we've got the King Summit Business Scale Up Conference. This always makes me laugh. We're coming into the 1st of August, and here I am talking about October. Thursday, the 10th of October, 8 a.m. till 4 p.m. And this is at Kent County Cricket Ground. This is in partnership with the Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce and the ICCC, sponsored by Wilkins Kennedy Accountants and HR Go Recruitment. Now, are you looking to scale up your business, but you are not sure where to start? And would you like to achieve over 20% growth in turnover in less than 1 year? I want to speak to these people. So this event is for you, a full day conference which will empower you with the knowledge, tools and strategies proven to be highly effective for business growth. Now, they've got speakers, Simon Teague. He's the author and co-director of New Level Results and co-founder of the King's Summit. You've got Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, who is the managing director of Orchard Law, Employment Law. Then you've got Stuart Goodwin, who is the dynamic communication coach and public speaker. You've got Julia Bernard Thompson, who is a business sales coach. You've got King James, who's the founder of King's Summit and pastor of the Favour House Church. And then you've got Ruth Whitaker, CEO of Mission Aviation Fellowship UK. So if you want to know a few bits more about it and you want to book your ticket, you need to go to
www.thekingssummit.com.
And by the way, the early bird tickets are available.
Fantastic. Thank you, Bird.
I want to know what they're talking about. It's a big thing saying you can achieve 20% growth.
Yeah,
turnover.
It's the second year. It's the second year running.
Yeah.
They launched last year with it. It's Simon runs a project in conjunction with Ashford Council and the Chamber of Commerce called Scale Up, and it's a whole. Oh, that's it. Go on, smash the studio up. She's chucking the microphones about all over the place now. Thank you, Bird.
Yeah, everybody, you can have a go at me because I've gone, do not do this. And throwing the mic.
Yeah, she just done it.
This is how not to do it, everybody. Continue.
Yeah, so the Scale Up project is a government-funded project to help businesses grow.
interesting that the government wants us to scale up.
Yeah. Well, funnily enough, talking about that, I was at a meeting three weeks ago, with a Minister for Small Business. And we agreed to do stuff. And then, of course, they changed the government. But luckily, Kelly is still the Minister for Small Business, so that's brilliant. But I was at a meeting with her 3 weeks ago, Kelly Tolhurst MP, and we were talking about the productivity issues. The government are really concerned that we have low productivity in the UK. It's amongst the lowest in Europe.
Well, how do they measure it?
Well, this is the issue. It's like a lot of things that the Treasury, the Bank of England and the government measure. They use old measurement statistics to measure new things. And productivity is basically measured in terms of revenues versus man hours spent. Yeah. But, of course, it doesn't really work anymore because most of us work 24 hours. We just had a conversation about this, about being in touch at odd times of the day, night, weekend and everything else. Well, that's not factored into productivity measurements. But anyway, the thing that we were dwelling on was micro, small and medium-sized businesses and the poor uptake in digital. Because this is where we feel the big advances are to be made.
Yeah.
It's where the big advances are to be made. If we could get, you know, like your plumber and your electrician and your boiler fitter and all those people to actually use some digital tools so that they actually had a calendar, for instance, where they marked on it when they were coming to do the job, you know, then we may get better productivity out of them. And that's the thing we were discussing and looking at how we might do that. Whilst talking about Kelly, the minister, she's also she has been reappointed as a small business minister. And she's also going to be speaking at an event I'm going to be at on Thursday.
Where are you?
I'm at the Women in Business BIG show.
What's that?
Huh?
What's that?
It's the big show. It's the Women in Business show, organised by Sian Murphy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's at Longfield Academy, and it's being opened by Kelly Tolhurst MP, who's the Minister for Small Business, and for some reason I'm going to be there.
Are you emceeing?
No, I've just...
It's unheard of.
What?
It's unheard of.
What, to not emcee?
Yeah.
Because I'm not a woman, basically, and it's a Women in Business conference, but I am going to be there.
Yeah, you see, I think it shouldn't just be for women.
The clue's in the name. Don't you think? Anyway.
I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, anyway, it's this Thursday. Women in Business, the BIG show, the big show. It's at the Longfield Academy. Come along and say hello to us at the Business Bunker. We'll be there with a stand. And I'll be interviewing some people and stuff like that. If you want
women?
Primarily, yeah. Most likely, yeah. if you want to book your tickets, go to eventbrite.co.uk/the Women in Business Big Show.
You just said that out loud.
What?
You fool.
Yeah. You daft thing, you. Yeah.
Joshing.
Yep. So that's this Thursday at Longfield Academy. Yep.
Well, Ethelbury have been on.
Have they?
They've tweeted.
Have they?
They said, Bird and a Bike, Vanilla Web, messages on holiday. We keep in touch, but only at set time each day. And we forewarn them that we'll be in touch ASAP, but we're on holiday, so there might be a bit of a delay. We've organised a whole team event for a new client from the hotel in Fort Lauderdale.
You see, here you go. You've got professionals here, because Kate and Keith from Athelbury...
Professional holiday takers.
They teach leadership skills and time management skills and all those soft skills. So they've got it nailed, haven't they?
Yeah. Perfect.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but they also wanted to get in the fact that they were on holiday in Florida.
Showing off. Nice one.
Yeah.
FSB Southeast have got a Women in Business brunch on the 5th of September. And their guest speaker...
I'm not doing it. I know you're looking at me thinking, is she going to stop him? Carry on.
Okay.
Who's that for?
Well, the guest speaker is an Amanda J. Flanders, apparently, who's the CEO of Exceed. They spelled this wrong. Exevio Limited, which are the event organisers, and the Women in Business event is hosted by Sue Hainsby. If you want to book your tickets to that, it's eventbrite.co.uk/Women in Business Brunch, as opposed to Women in Business Big. Women in Business Brunch. And that's on the 5th of September.
It's a great event.
Yeah. They've spelt the name of Amanda's company wrong there. It's throwing me.
And it makes you then, it makes your eyes wobble.
It does. It does, yeah.
Okay, cool. So we've got help bridge the gap between schools and businesses. In Kent, we offer a practical way for businesses to engage with education through the Skills 30-30. Now, in this two-hour event, businesses hear from a local authority and relevant recruitment groups while students take part in an employment-related workshop. And then both groups get together for facilitated speed networking. So here's the programme. For businesses, it's a one-hour networking and presentations. There's FSB lobbying update. There's Kent supported employment team, enterprise advisor network, and then Mr. Paul Andrews on skills and employment. And for the students, there's a one-hour workshop, how to present yourself at work, how to stand out in your new job, and use LinkedIn to your advantage. And then this is where the magic happens, where you bring two pieces together, which is the business and the student, and they have 40 minutes facilitated networking and 10 minutes free networking. Now, you need to speak to Alison Palmer, and she can email her by alison.parmar, that's P-A-R-M-A-R, at fsb.org.uk, or you can go onto our website, which is www.jobsinkent.com, and find out all the details there. Now, here's the thing. The next one is the 25th of September at Haysbrook School, and that's at Tunbridge. And then you've got 20th of November at Longfield Academy. Any other?
Yep.
2020 now we've got.
Yeah, in January we're at Wilmington Academy. And in June 2020, we are at Maskells in Paddockwood.
We've also got a website for this as well. So it's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/3030.
Fantastic. That's 3030.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, did
you say it weird?
No, but 30-30. Some people might try and type the word 30 and it's the number
yes,
30.
Yes, numbers.
We update that on a regular basis. So as each school registers, then we put the dates for that in. Do come along. It's great fun. It's really cool. It's really good fun. I had a good meeting at County Hall yesterday talking about skills, apprenticeships, T-levels and all the other stuff that is causing us grief at the moment. And KCC are looking to put – they're trying to pull everything together because there's so many people operating in different areas of the same field that they're trying to pull everything together so that we can all start to sing from the same hymn sheet. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Funny enough, and then I went straight on to a meeting with the Department of Work and Pensions and talked about exactly the same thing, really.
Nice. Good.
Do you know what? Going to play some tunage.
What have you picked?
Well, I picked the Commodores with a little number called Brick House.
I thought it would be for Norman.
What do you reckon? I had choices. I could have picked, you know, House in the Country or something like that.
I thought that's what you were going to go
for.
Yeah,
but I've played that a few times, so I went for this. Brick House. Yeah, a bit of Motown.
A bit of grunting.
Yeah.
Like Lady Stack, that's a fact. Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. RiftAccounting.com.
My Careers Options gives real career choices for your child's brighter future. Through simple, fun questions and puzzles, your child will discover careers they can do, want to do, and which suit who they are. My Careers Options unique careers report also supports the school to help your child make informed decisions about their future education and careers choices. 50% off today with code BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk. That's BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. Bit of Commodores there, bit of Motown, some adverts. Welcome back to the Business Bunker show with me and Bird. And a great lineup of guests, and we're going to be talking to them very, very shortly. Do you want to do another quick tweet?
I will.
Because I've seen you've got a couple of your own tweets there.
I am.
Yeah.
But this is very funny.
Yeah.
And I like the way that Ethel Bray have said to me, oi. Holiday professionals indeed. Cheeky. There's nothing like organising a training course with a cocktail in hand by the pool. Ethel Bray, you know I'm with you. I think it's the best time to start just being creative around the pool. So, yes, we love you. Thank you for connecting with us.
Cool. What else you got? You got a couple there.
I haven't.
Yes, you have. You got one from Mitch.
Where? I haven't had it.
Yeah, you have. It's addressed to you. If you look at your mentions, and you got one from Fruitball Media.
Have I?
Yeah. Have you not found them?
No, I'm just looking now. No, they're not there for the minute. No.
We'll go back a bit.
I'm going. Oh, here he is.
Yeah.
Mitch, hello, how are you? Hi, Bird and a Bike. You get a mention now, and Vanilla Web.
Well, he has to mention me because I have to tell you he's tweeted you, otherwise you don't see it, do you?
Shout out, please. We buy and sell your car locally on carsfromkent.com. Is he back from Dubai?
Don't go there. No.
Okay.
No, don't go there.
All right.
Yeah. Do you want to do the other one as well?
I will, yes. Yeah, hey, Bird and a Bike, Vanilla Web, you get another shout out.
Yeah.
You're only doing this now because you think she's not even getting it through there.
Yeah.
Shout out, we will be at the Tech Expo UK on the 26th of September. Come and say hello to us. Guess what? They're on stand B12, and that's Fruit Bowl Media.
In that vitamin?
.com. It is.
Yeah.
Very essential.
Yeah, so essentially be there on B12.
See what I did there? Done. You're such a creative.
Oh, no.
You should write a book next week on your holiday.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking of doing a radio show.
No, you're not.
Nah.
Cool. No, you wouldn't. Anyway.
Cool. Good. Do you know what? I think we'll talk to somebody sensible.
Thank goodness.
That'll make a change, won't it? Shall we talk to our first guest?
Who is it?
We've got Norman Hinks from...
I'm pleased he's here.
Yeah.
Rather than on the end of a phone.
Yeah, well, Norman was going to be a phone guest, and I was chatting to him earlier this morning, and he said, you know, would it be easier if I came in? I went, absolutely, it would. So he's here.
Nice.
And that's really lovely, and we're really pleased he's here. Norman's from Masonry Frame Systems, based around the corner from us in Wye. Norman, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, good afternoon, Paul. Very good to be here and to speak to you and to your listeners this afternoon.
Yeah.
And especially my newfound neighbour, Jules.
Yeah. She wants a balcony, apparently.
Yes,
yeah.
I understand. Yes.
Yeah.
We specialise in those.
Absolutely, yeah. And I don't know if it was true, but I thought I recognised it as well. On your website, you've got a picture of a property you built in Tankerton.
That's correct,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, and she lives a couple of doors away from it, which is what sparked the whole thing.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah.
Nice house.
Yeah. And she now wants a new balcony, I understand.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. Yeah. Get on it, mate. Otherwise, you'll get loads of grief otherwise.
We'll catch up with her after.
Yeah, absolutely. Norman, thank you for coming on. Why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about... Masonry Frame Systems as a business, what it is you do, how long you've been doing it, that kind of thing.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Well, essentially, as the name suggests, we're a specialist masonry frame contractor that builds the structural envelopes of buildings, largely speaking houses or blocks of apartments, flats,
right.
And the like, in a quick, efficient, cost-effective manner, using some lean management, intelligent engineering, one or two other little techniques, and some of the latest construction techniques, which is primarily why I'm here to talk to you today. Saving, hopefully, both time and money for the end user.
Okay, so as a starting point, are we talking about kind of a prefabricated arrangement, or is it a technique? I mean, I'm not in the construction industry, but years ago they had things like shuttering and stuff like that, which was a technique for pouring concrete. Mm-hmm. Is it that kind of thing, that you have a kind of template for how to build the shell of a building?
Not quite. It's a semi-off-site manufacturing process,
right, okay,
that we've developed.
Yep.
The products that we're bringing in are largely speaking from the continent.
Right.
We're working with one of the largest the largest manufacturer in the world in aircrete and calcium silicate. And we bring it in and assemble it,
right,
in all honesty, on-site.
So, okay, so it's kind of a bit like a Lego.
It is Lego for adults, quite
right,
honestly.
Right, okay. Yeah, I love it. I love it. He's got the ultimate business there, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Lego for adults. How long has MFS been going?
We started in 2004.
Right.
We were pretty humble thin joint blockwork contractors at that point in time.
Right.
And then it's evolved from that point onwards, really. The project's now become more and more complex.
Yeah.
We've just... For those of you guys in and around Ashford, we're building the Panorama project this very minute.
Right, okay.
It's about 110 apartments.
Right.
We completed one or two other projects around the southeast. And we can take that up to sort of 10 to 12 stories high. So,
wow, okay.
So what's your sweet spot, Norman? Do you do mainly bigger projects, or do you do residential for one or two houses?
We started out very much doing one-offs for clients. That evolved into more estate-type work, sort of 10, 15, 20 houses at a time. But latterly, over the last sort of 3 to 4 years, as the market has grown, the need for higher-rise development, we have found that there is a growth market for us in the Silk Road Element system, which is the root of the challenge that we have for apartment type construction.
Right.
So the sweet spot for us now is what I would call medium to high rise apartments, blocks of flats, care homes,
right,
student accommodation, projects of that sort of nature.
Really. Cool. And presumably, because it's a formulated system and part constructed off site, the build time is quicker than it would normally be in conventional building?
Absolutely. That's where we see the big advantages, actually. We typically improve productivity. I know you were talking about productivity earlier on. We improve labour productivity by 50%. So, you know, we can do pretty much the same with half the labour.
Which is also useful because we have massive skill shortages in construction at the moment.
You're spot on, actually, in that respect.
Yeah.
It's wrong to say we actually de-skill the industry. We actually use new skills to the industry. So we complement the existing bricklayers and the like that are very much in demand out there. We're training new guys. We're bringing new entrants into the market.
Fantastic. Yeah.
And it has a wide appeal to young people coming in, those that want to play with...
Big boys Lego.
Large format
Lego
blocks.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? And I don't know whether you've seen this in your business. A couple of years ago, Grand Designs, the TV program, had a couple of projects where they bought in prefabricated buildings and erected them on site. And I think that kind of piqued people's interest because it's something that in the UK that we weren't really up to speed with.
No, that's absolutely true. I think as an industry, we've been very traditionalist.
Yeah.
There's been a reluctance to embrace change. There's been a reluctance to look at new methods.
Yeah.
You know, I invite most of my clients to jump on a ferry, get across the continent. Mm. These guys are doing things that are streets ahead of where we are right this very minute.
And it's a little bit crazy, isn't it, when we've got such a shortage of housing in this country and it's taking so long to get anything built and we've got skill shortages as well,
yes,
that we haven't adopted new technology and new productivity methods.
No, that's absolutely the case.
Yeah.
And herein lies the challenge that we're about to take. And that's why it's conjuring up so much interest.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this challenge that you've undertaken, because you're a brave man here.
Right.
Norman and his team are going to be at the Construction Expo, which is taking place on the 26th of September, if I remember rightly, at Arding Light, which is the South of England Event Centre over there in Sussex. And you've been challenged to build an apartment in a day.
That's absolutely correct, yes. It's grown a little bit out of proportion, if I'm honest.
Right.
We were first approached by the event organiser, Carol Black, those of you will know her, to actually do a live demonstration on the day.
Yeah. She has a habit of talking you into extra things, doesn't she?
Well, absolutely, yeah. we were very quick to want to showcase the system. We're working with one of the, as I say, one of the major importers or one of the major manufacturers of the system in the world. They were very keen to take advantage of the opportunity. And from a live demonstration, it's now grown into physically building a whole apartment in one day.
Wow.
Now, that is a challenge in its own right.
Yep.
Doing it out on site in an open environment with blue sky above you is one thing. Trying to do that within the confines of a showground with
thousands of people milling around going, what are you doing there, mate?
with sort of a few thousand people milling around, that's right, trying to stop us mid-track. Will be another challenge in its own right. But it's something that the guys are really looking forward to.
Yeah.
Are you practicing, Norman?
Are we practicing? we practice every day, to be perfectly honest.
So you're not standing there with a. Do you know what I mean? Coaching them on the side.
Like an F1 pit team.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you haven't got that wall up quick enough. Off you go. Try it again.
go.
Not quite. I think we might have to do that.
You're gambling then. I'm sorry. It's all in the practice.
To have the opportunity to showcase what we're doing pretty much every day of the week is one thing.
Yeah.
Logistics are critical. Logistics are critical to the system in any event, but within the confines of the showground is something else.
Can I ask a really daft question? Once you've done it, and I'm sure you'll do it, what do you do with it then? You've got to take it down again.
Well, that's a challenge actually for a demolition contractor the following day. The system, one of the advantages of the system is that we can build so rapidly. It does set very, very quickly. So it is structurally sound within 24 hours.
Okay.
So
it's going to be, it'll be watertight, airtight, good to go.
We won't be putting a roof on it at this particular juncture.
Yeah, yeah.
All we'd be doing is building the structural walls and the structural envelope of it.
Yeah.
So
you
can't move in.
Oh, she can, don't you worry. She's got a waterproof sleeping bag. So are you looking forward to it?
Very much. I think it's a challenge that we're up to. We're very keen to broadcast what we're doing. There is a massive need in the industry this very minute, as we all know. We have a big housing shortage. And as you touched on earlier, there is a big skill shortage too. And with this new system, and there are two or three other systems out there that this lends itself to as well, it gives us a great opportunity to actually take the industry forward.
Absolutely. So, forgive me if I use the incorrect terminology here, but with prefabricated structures... is there a cost saving in terms of the build?
Overall, there is.
Yeah.
The one thing that we manufacturing in a factory, delivering it all on the back of a lorry, does come at a price.
Yeah, of course.
The advantages come in the labour savings that we generate.
Okay.
And the time savings, moreover.
Yeah.
And it's that we need to touch on, and that's what we need to discover, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's important. In terms of time, as you say, you save on labour and you save on hours to do it. But, of course, the sooner you get something up, the sooner you can occupy it, and the sooner it becomes viable.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's something that, that you know, most clients that we talk to are particularly interested in.
And just as you mentioned that, at the moment, your sweet spot is small blocks of apartments. So who's your typical type of client? Is it mostly housing associations?
Housing associations are particularly interested. They've got enormous challenges out there in that respect. Developers, we work for main contractors, largely speaking, and developers.
Right.
And it depends on the nature of the client as to the service that we actually end up providing.
Right.
Typically, a main contractor, we would just literally build the structural envelope and then hand that back to them.
Right.
For a developer, we extend that service so it would be a little bit more embracing.
Right.
We would take it a little bit further.
So just explain to those of us that are completely ignorant of the construction business, when you talk about the envelope of a building, it's kind of like the walls and the roof?
Essentially, the floors, walls and the roof, basically. Yeah. The bit that the structural envelope, the bit that that you don't want to fall down. Actually,
So when you hand over an apartment block, what you've kind of handed over, I'm trying to get a mental picture in my mind. So you've got a structure. Let's say you've built a three-story apartment block.
Yes.
You've got a structure which is the walls. The floors in between,
yes,
and the roof,
yes,
and then you hand it over, and then they fit out. They put in the windows and the doors and the staircases and all that kind of stuff.
Well, the staircases invariably we will go in as we go, but exactly as you say.
Yeah. Okay.
The windows, and then it's ready for the fit out in terms of the plumbing, the electrics, the plastering, and all the rest of it that goes with.
Fantastic. So basically, you can get stairs in an envelope.
Apparently, yeah. Well, my son would be interested in stairs. My son bought a manor house in France. It's a two-story building without stairs. So he's not been. They've been there a year. He hasn't been upstairs yet because he hasn't got a ladder long enough to get up there. So he's working on putting a staircase in at some point. Yeah.
I think he needs Norman and a structural envelope.
Well, I think he probably does. Yeah.
Are you restricted by weather? Are you restricted by the seasons? Do you find?
Of course we are.
More than the normal building. No. Trade
far less, in fact.
Right, interesting.
It changes the mindset of the guys on site.
Mm.
The products that we're now using, the mortar, the adhesive that we're actually using, they have a summer mix and they have a winter mix.
Oh, wow.
We can actually lay it at -3 degrees, believe it or not, which extends the working day for typical bricklayers on our construction site in the UK. But it actually changes the mindset of the guys. Because they know that they can actually arrive on site, let's say at 0 degrees, at freezing, and get a decent day's work in, they don't spend, they don't turn over first thing in the morning or whatever it might be that bricklayers do, actually.
What is this bringing to the construction industry? What do you see? Because are you a trailblazer in this arena, do you believe? And what are you doing to change that?
The construction industry is it's living in the past very much.
Yeah, without a doubt.
We don't consider ourselves to be trailblazers as a company, but we're amongst a handful or more of companies that are looking to change, looking to
a bit of leading edge.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's exciting times, right?
Sorry?
It's exciting times for you.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think Norman's an innovator.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, one of the interesting things is Howard and I both come from a background where we're heavily influenced by innovation and doing different things. We both worked in banking at a time when banking was starting to come to terms with having to innovate, back in the day when they'd invented writing and stuff. But innovation is important, and there are lots of industries still in the UK that want to stick to the old ways of doing things. And there's a lot to be said for traditional ways of doing things. Let's not discount that. But so many industries just will not innovate, and they hold on and hold on and hold on and go down and down and down gradually until all of a sudden, bosh, they're out of the water, and then they don't understand how they got to where they got to, yes, and how they got overtaken, yes, by things, because they just don't adapt to anything. So I love what you're doing. I love the fact that you're adapting. You're starting to see more and more examples of pre-manufactured, pre-fabricated and different building techniques. Yes. And because we need to build so much, and because we don't have the people to do it, any technique that helps that has got to be a benefit, hasn't it?
Exactly the case. You know, yeah, the government have laid down a challenge to the industry. You know, we need to be building 300,000 units per year, yeah, for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
We haven't done that. Over the last decade, we've built 150,000 houses, yeah, on average per year for the last decade. Yeah. So we've got to double our production.
Yeah.
Double our production over the next 20 years, next, yeah, generation in that respect. And we're doing it against the backdrop of an ageing population,
yeah,
and a decreasing workforce.
Yeah.
So innovation is absolutely critical to, yeah, to our industry. And, yes, there's three or four, half a dozen different methods out there, mm, and this is just one of them that, mm, that we hope will make waves.
It's interesting that you say that as well, Norman, about the changing demographics in the country, because that's having a huge impact on living accommodation and stuff like that. I was in a conversation with a chap called Leon Steer, who's the chief executive of Rapport Housing, mm-hmm, and they build social housing or housing for the older population.
That's right. In fact, that was one of our very first projects.
Was it really?
Yeah. With Rapport.
Yeah.
We built a care home, an extra care home in Tunbridge for them.
Yeah, okay.
Using this system.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was very significant. Mm. We actually halved their structural build program.
Wow.
And that's where the client really benefits.
Yeah, absolutely.
They got the project back in 17 weeks earlier than they might ordinarily.
Because the other really big cost is land, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And if people can save on the build, it sort of offsets that cost of land. I think there's an insurance company that's building a factory somewhere in Yorkshire to build prefabricated homes, particularly for us old people, Paul.
Yeah, I'm on the waiting list, mate. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's really exciting, and new building methodologies, new ways of doing things really, I think, have a profound impact. I always think about other places with stuff like this, and I've made reference a couple of times. I've never mentioned it before that both Howard and I used to work for a US bank. Well, for a time, I lived and worked in the US, and there, people would move house, literally. You know, they bring a truck and put the house on a truck and take the house away. Yeah. Yeah. And when I first went to stay in the US, I was living in New York, and I went to visit one of the guys from England that was Mickey Coleman. Do you remember Mickey Coleman? And Mickey got a company house in New Jersey, and he'd arrived, and I was talking to him, and he went, I won't tell you exactly what he said because he had a terrible stutter, and the only way he could not stutter was to swear. But anyway, when he got there, there was no lawns or anything, and he was going, oh, it's horrible. And the guy that was showing around said, well, they haven't delivered the lawns yet. They haven't delivered the garden. They bring the garden because you're renting the garden. And when they arrived, it wasn't just, you know, turf. It was flowers, trees, everything. They just put it all there. And when he moved out, they came and took it all away again. Right. Yeah, so they just rented the entire garden. And they moved the house. They put it on a truck and took the house somewhere else. We're kind of not there very much yet, apart from mobile homes. But these were real fixed structure houses. So there's a lot of different building techniques out in the world. And a lot, you know, we're constrained by land in this country. Although I did see, this is an interesting statistic. Do you know that only 10% of the UK is actually built on? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. The drive now is for denser, higher rise apartment type living. And believe it or not, urban living in cities. So, I think the statistics are frightening, actually.
I was reading something the other day. I don't know what your thoughts are on this about urban living. They were saying that urban construction and urban living is far more climate friendly, it's far more socially friendly. it's better than rural living because it doesn't take up as much space and you've got all the facilities kind of clustered in one place.
There are statistics out there for it. You don't need so many cars.
Yeah.
You don't need the motorways, the roads. You don't sit in traffic jams either. So
behind tractors, which is what we suffer out here. Yeah. No, absolutely. Look, Norman, thank you so much for that. It's been an absolute eye-opener talking to you about the fantastic work that you're doing with Masonry Frame Systems there. We wish you huge success with your Build an Apartment in a Day challenge at the Construction Expo 2019. If people want to find out more about MFS, how do they do that?
Probably the best route is via our website,
Worldwide Web.
Yeah.
Yes. Masonryframesystems.co.uk.
Fantastic. There is a link to that on the Kent Business Radio website, so do check it out. Do have a look. They've got loads of pictures of some of the stuff, so it gives you a better idea of what they've been doing. For the moment, Norman, thank you so much for that.
Excellent. Thank you.
Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But Norman Hinks of Masonry Frame Systems, thank you. And good luck with your challenge.
Norman, have you looked to see if it's in the Guinness Book of Records or anything? Can we not put a record to this?
I haven't.
Right, okay. Somebody go and check.
Are you fine?
What is the Guinness Book of Records on this, so whether we can do that on the day?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that would be great for you to have that.
Yeah.
You know, as part of your marketing, wouldn't it?
It would, absolutely, yes.
Right. Do you want to read something while I try and catch up with some of the tweets?
Yes, no, I do. We've got new markets, media and intelligence, and they said, we're looking forward to co-hosting next Tuesday, the Business Bunker radio show, with Jules Sterkin, and they're going to be talking about the... Oh, my goodness, I can't believe they're going to talk about this. With Brexit looming, we discuss opportunities around the world with our global guests from Nigeria to New Zealand. So I want to know what they... I know they're going to... Look at your face. Can you believe they're going to go there with this? But anyway, it'll be interesting to listen.
I know what they've got, yeah. They've got two studio guests. They've got Ken Lloyd. Ken, we love Ken to bits. Ken's a graphic designer. He designs packaging. And one of his biggest clients is in Nigeria. So he's been designing packaging for Nigerian companies for many years. They're going to be talking to him. They're going to be talking to Francois Ranier. Do you remember Francois? He's been on the show before. He's the Frenchman that's allowed to live in Maidstone. That's why I'm being disingenuous.
Okay.
Yeah. Francois is a business consultant, and he did a lot of translation work for Jules for the stuff they were doing overseas. And then they've got some clients, and I'm not sure who they are yet, but one's in New Zealand and one's in Nigeria, and they're going to be talking to them on the phone.
Yeah, I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So real international. I might ring in from France as well, just to give it a real flavour.
I could just ring in from where I'm going.
Yeah, I'll just have a quick chat online with Francois, couldn't I?
Yeah.
Bonjour, ça va?
Yeah.
Francois.
I'm abroad as well, so we could do that.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Yeah, well, you didn't call me from Rwanda, did you?
I did call you from Rwanda.
I just didn't answer the phone, did I?
You just didn't answer it. And like I said to you, I didn't want to just ring in. I thought they've had a week of me off, so they don't want me to. And then you went, Barry doesn't ring in. I was like, right. And you didn't answer it. Anyway, we've got Business Bunker. It says, please, can we have a shout-out, please? We're exhibiting at the Women in Business Big Show on Thursday. And that's from Dragon's Lush. So if you want a Dragon Slush... Yeah. At the Women Business Big Show, and that is obviously co-working.
It is, yeah.
Of course it is.
Roland and the team.
Exactly.
See you there, Roland.
Yes.
Yeah, be good.
Yeah.
Apparently, according to Click Events, it's Happy World Friendship Day today. Why not say hello to somebody new, they say. Hello. Cool. Happy World Friendship Day. Who'd have thought it? And then I've got a tweet from Social Enterprise Kent. Social Enterprise Kent is excited to be hosting a Kent and Medway Social Enterprise Conference. This year, the conference will be held at the Westgate Hall. That's in Canterbury, for those that don't know. A beautiful place in the heart of Canterbury. Sorry, I should have read the notes. If you want details, they've shortened the link. So the easiest thing is to follow them on the Twitter. And their Twitter handle is SOCENTKENT, Sock Ent Kent. And that's Social Enterprise Kent. And I bumped into Rebecca from Social Enterprise Kent yesterday at the County Hall.
Of course you did.
Yeah, as you do. What else you got? You can read. No, you can't, because we're going to join the newsroom. I think it's time to join the newsroom. And then when we come back, we've got two more guests to talk to and loads more to discuss. So let's go to this.
On the Hour, Channel Radio News Update.